each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. This is Father Anthony, and Tony is here as well. Thank God.
Yeah, I made it.
So, you know, I want to pick up where we left off the other day. Do you remember where we left off?
I was hoping you would.
I was
trying to do that before I came in here. What were we talking about?
I don't expect that you would. We were dealing with the tragedy in Las Vegas. And I don't know. I have all kinds of... I'm ready to tune out, if that makes any sense. When I say tune out, I don't mean out of life, but out of this certain part of life.
Right. I'm starting to feel the same way.
You know, this part of life that is chaotic and confused and divisive and full of suffering and pain. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a... So Nick is helping us out. You were talking about the continuous struggle of good versus evil with all this in mind. And that's basically where I'm at today as well.
Thanks,
evil.
Nick.
What is evil? Evil is certainly any kind of suffering is evil, you know? It's not that we inflict it upon ourselves, but we could. We can certainly inflict evil on others, but we're unfortunately subjected to the reality of life in this world. You know, it goes back to the exile, back to the journey. We're on this journey. We're moving toward. We're not condemned to be here forever. Let me just say that. And yet, when I say that, I have to keep repeating, and I know this to be true. But life is good. It's a beautiful gift. It's a very beautiful gift. It's a very precious gift, but it's also rather fragile.
You say tune out. I wonder how to do that.
Tune out?
Yeah, how to actually do that. It's just...
Well, there's many ways. I mean, you know, I think... I don't know.
Because, I mean, I think about it, too. I can't... And you've said it before, too, and it's something that kind of sticks with me. Is no matter what you go through in life, if you're happy, someone else is suffering.
Exactly right. That's
so it's
right.
I want to not really get involved in like the news part and the bickering back and forth, but deep down inside, I know that somebody else is suffering.
Exactly.
So it's hard to like.
And so how do you detach from that?
Yeah.
That's the thing. So let me just. It was interesting. And sad. It's very, very sad. So yesterday I was dealing with I was called to the hospital to a young woman whose name happens to be Sarah, and this is just a complete repeat of what happened a year ago with another young woman whose name is Sarah, but she had suffered a brain aneurysm. I guess that's what they call it, where I guess the blood vessel
bursts.
Yeah, in the head, in the brain. And I've known this family, you know, for 27 years since I remember her when she was very, very young. So it's a huge, huge family. It's a big family. And so I got the message that she was on her deathbed. And I, you know, well, what happened? You know, right? What happened? And so I went out there to the hospital, and it's just again, you know, the question. We started, I think, with a question: why, mm-hmm. why? And yet we know the answer, do we not? But why must we? Why must they have to suffer this? And yet nobody is going to escape this, right? This is the reality of life. Then you see the students, the children, you know, playing in the playground over here. I listen to that, and I think of a time of innocence, you know, when we didn't have to deal with these things, although children do. But for the most part, the whole mystery of life. Mm-hmm. But you know what was interesting is somebody there, a cousin, said to me, and I I've seen her, and she's going through a very difficult time. She was diagnosed. This is another her cousin. Mm-hmm. So Sarah has passed away. She passed away last night. She died last night, and so I. But while I was there, of course, it's a huge family, so there were a lot of people. There was just a complete repeat of what I experienced a year ago. And it was like deja vu, you mm-hmm. know. And I've been through this many times, you know, with many people. And so the cousin, who I just learned a couple of weeks before, that the cousin was diagnosed with cancer, had surgery, and so she's there, mm-hmm. she's there. And I saw her, and I said, oh, I said, my gosh, I said, how are you doing? I says, you know, I just found out, I just heard, you know, just recently that you, what you've been through, what you're going through. And she said, yeah, she said, I'm just, right now, I just feel so jealous. I said, what? She said, I look at Sarah, and I feel jealous. This is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I said, I understand what you're saying. Because she's been through a lot, and she's going to go through a lot. And it's, I mean, you know, so I bring this out because I think, you know, again, not do we have the answers. Life is just not easy. And Jesus, in fact, I've got a response to a program, the program we had the other day, and I want to share with everybody this, and by the way, this is another thing. I really encourage people, you know, if you're listening to the radio and you've got questions, you know, send them in. You know, one of these days, maybe we'll open up a telephone or whatever. Right now, we can't do that, but if you get comments, if you want to maybe fill in the blanks or expound on what I'm trying to say, what we're trying to say, or if you've got your own insights, your own thoughts, share your wisdom, your understanding, your you know, I mean, because we're all trying to figure this out. You know, we've got the answers. I mean, the answers is in the person of Christ Jesus. But nonetheless, in this journey of ours, we're trying to work the faith. It's just like we're working our faith out, you know. I hear this. I listen to this all the time, you know. People who they just say, you know, they're very honest about it. I don't know if I believe. I don't know what this means. People are asking questions, and we're supposed to. I mean, if people can go through life with a blind faith, then that's a beautiful thing. I think what happens is people attain to that. When I say blind faith, what I'm saying is that people have, and it comes from what they've suffered, what they've had to deal with, whether it's in the mind, in the body, in the soul, in the spirit, whether it's the stuff that's going on outside themselves, but they come to a point in their journey I think, I believe. Well, people can go this way or that way, but I'm speaking about people who come to this deep-seated conviction that all things we entrust to Almighty God, and that He will see us through. I say this all the time, and I believe it, but I sometimes tire of the journey, in the sense that I get tired of the question that is perpetuated in the lives of individuals who are trying to work it out, and I know how painful that is, and I want to give the answer, and I can give an answer, but the answer doesn't suffice until someone comes to that deep conviction. It's almost it's a letting go. It's a letting go and just saying, you know what, this is too big for me. This is too deep for me. This is something that I simply cannot control, and I just have to accept. I have to accept. It might be the, excuse me, there was a psychologist who spoke of the, and I don't know that I remember them right offhand, but the five stages.
I was just thinking that.
Of dying. You're thinking of that. Do you remember what they are?
I think the last one is acceptance.
The last one is acceptance. Anger, denial,
rebellion, and I think acceptance.
And acceptance. There's one more. Bargaining.
Bargaining. Yeah.
And so in life, I think we do this at various points of our life journey. We'll try to bargain with God, or bargain with the powers to be, whatever it is. For us, you know, certainly, we're here speaking to you as people of faith. Thank God Jesus said, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it can move a mountain. Because many people, they're bothered by their lack of faith. And we've got in the scripture, you know, was it the centurion, or was it Nicodemus? I don't remember who said, I think there are a couple of people who said, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I trust, but help me with my lack of trust. I have faith, but help me with my lack of faith. And Jesus says, well, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. And see, I guess we have to allow, I think of parents with children, how they've got to, or anybody who loves anybody, you got to watch people go through this, the questioning, and suffer the question. But in the scripture it says, and I was just thinking about this a little while ago, but I don't know exactly where it's at, but there will come a time when the living will envy the dead. When the living will envy the dead. And I thought about that because I was thinking about what this young woman said, who's going to begin chemotherapy. She's already had surgery a couple of months, almost 2 months ago. And looking at her cousin, who has basically died, at that point we knew that it would be, I mean, save a miracle. There's no way she would have survived. So people they were already. It's an interesting thing, because even as I offered the prayers, there are these beautiful prayers for the those who are passing from this life to the next. And you're kind of reluctant to say those prayers because the prayers are very, mm-hmm. very vivid in regards to the passage or the Passover, the departure, the going home, entrusting them to Almighty God. And so it's in a sense, those prayers betray a definitive reality, and the reality is this man or this woman is dying, is at the door of death. And so the prayer, the church is going to pray this person through the door, through this Passover, into the embrace of Almighty God. So those are, and they're beautiful, beautiful prayers, but they're very pointed about that. Now, if you've got, my gosh, you know, a mother and the children, in this case, I'm speaking of Sarah, whose husband was there, the mother, the sibling, she's got five brothers and sisters. She's got three children, lots of extended family, you know, the cousins and all that, aunts and uncles. And so many were there. And they're holding on, right? They're holding on. They know, but yet they're holding on. And rightfully so. I mean, this is a shock. This is a shock, as it was a year ago, as I've seen it so many times already. And I'm so as I come on the radio, I feel like I'm talking to my friends, you know. Mm-hmm. So I betray a little bit of what's in my, I reveal a little bit of what's going on in my soul, my own struggle. But I'm there that to offer the prayers, and in my heart, in my mind, I know that the prayers that I want to offer are those prayers that are dealing with a definitive reality, and that is definitive death, the passing. But for us, death isn't the end. Of course, it's not the end. It's as I say, the entrusting one to Almighty God, giving back to God what God has given to us. But as long as the family is seemingly holding on, because at that point, you see, the doctors had done a final test or some tests just to see, you know, if there was some glimmer of hope. And so as long as there's that glimmer of hope, do you get the point that I'm making? Mm-hmm. Then I don't want to dampen that hope by offering, in a very vivid way, these prayers of Passover, which are beautiful prayers, mm-hmm. and they bring great concept. I mean, when my father was dying, I could do it. Because we all knew he was dying, and I had the great privilege, the great blessing, the great strength that came from God, really only from God, to be there in the presence of my entire family, and to offer those prayers. And as I completed the prayers, indeed, my father passed away. He died. You know, we watched him breathe his last. In this case, that wasn't the... So on one hand, there was, you know, the reality was setting in. In fact, even as I was going to the hospital, I got a note that Sarah had passed away. But when I got there, of course, she wasn't. She was on the machines and all right. the stuff, and they were still doing tests to see that... You know, would there be some hope? Mm-hmm. You get the point I'm making.
Yeah.
So it's and so what do you say? You know, what do you say? This is where I feel so so powerless in a sense, and you know, as a priest, and I'll tell you, I have to say this to this as well. I envy, in a sense, I'm saying this right now. I'm just okay. We're just talking again. It's like mm-hmm. I'm talking to friends, right? So, because that's how I see this radio is. It's not here. I'm not coming here with all the answers. Although we've got the answers, and I want to share those answers with you. But it's how do you bring someone to believe? I mentioned the 12-year-old boy the other day who had this question about why people suffer, why the pain. If we're created in the image of God, why does God allow this to happen? And of course, we've got the answers. I sent the answers, and it didn't suffice. He was looking for something else. Well, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. The fact is, it is what it is. You know, we're not in heaven. We're not in the kingdom. Hasn't been fully realized. It's come, and God is with us. Blessed the eyes that can see. blessed the mind that can comprehend incomprehensible mysteries. And yet it's been revealed to us in the incarnation, when God took on our flesh, in the Paschal mystery, the suffering and the death of Jesus. But nonetheless, we all wrestle with the reality, and that is that, you know, in some ways that may seem very distant, when my experience, what I know to be true, is that, you know, this is my mother whom I love, this is my sister who I love, this is my daughter, or my son, or my husband, or my wife, or my friend, or my neighbor. This is somebody I know, somebody I love, somebody who has touched my life, somebody whose life I've touched. You know what I'm? Unless we really spend our lives nurturing relationship with God, which is really, I think if anything, there's an urgent need today in the world to nurture intimacy with God, as mysterious as that is, in order to perceive or to understand how God is working in the midst of all this crisis and this suffering, this pain, the natural disasters, this horrific manifestation of evil that happened in Las Vegas. Do you get to where I'm? But the bottom line is, I can't get this out of my head. The young woman who is suffering cancer, has been through a major surgery, now is recuperated enough that she's preparing now for chemotherapy. She's there. I see her now for the first time since I found out. I've known her for 27 years, mm-hmm. as I've known all these people for 27 years. These are people who are very active in the parish before the neighborhood changed. They've all now moved out, but they're still very connected. In fact, you know what? They were at the Mass Sunday night, the healing Mass.
Wow.
Sarah's husband told me that they thought about going up for the healing prayer, for the anointing, but Sarah said, no, we're not sick, you know, let the sick, because there's so many people, let the sick go, where we're not sick, you know. It's funny how people aren't sick, but they still feel the need for the healing, because there is something going on in the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit, or as perhaps a safeguard, you know, that I be, somehow I have the shield of protection from whatever infirmities might invade my body. But anyway, I was struck by what this young woman said, and she said it right there in front of everybody. Yeah, she was speaking to me, but everybody heard, and they weren't bothered by what she said. Because in fact, I think they knew what they were dealing with. And these are people of faith. These are people of consistent faith, deep faith, consistent faith. But when she said, you know, I'm jealous, as she's looking at Sarah, who is dying, she said, I'm jealous. Why? Because for her this is over, and for me it's just beginning. And that she didn't have to, or will not have to go through this that I'm going through, as she's looking to herself. Mm-hmm. Not to be, self-pity. I understand. I understand what you're saying. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in a bigger way, it made me think, you know, about collectively speaking, and I tell you, I think this is one of the tragedies of our time, is that, and I'm hearing this from all different sides, but that we are losing—we're losing the very soul of our civilization. And so it makes me, and that seems like a very pessimistic thing to say, but I'm telling you, I'm hearing this from all sides. When I say all sides, I mean it's not just coming from people who have faith, but people who are agnostic, people who are atheistic, people who worship nature, or whatever. I was listening to this a couple of things yesterday. It's just amazing, and to hear this from them, then I think, well, gosh, you know, maybe, you know, maybe I'm not so far fetched when I look around and I say, you know, unless there's a collective conversion, unless we collectively, as a people, wake up and put our lives right with God. Now, we would say, yes, of course, with God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because God has revealed all these things to us. But if we have no regard for his word, no regard for the commandments of God, if we, as I say so often, we've been nurturing narcissism for so many years. I mean, this man that we don't know all, they're still trying to figure out why this man massacred, you know, these people and ruined the lives of, I just say ruin the lives, because right now it may seem like it, but we do, this is the upside, the good side is that we do survive. Good does prevail, and we'll see it. We've seen it. I've seen it. We'll see it. But right now, when you're in the battle, when you've seemingly been defeated, I mean, he has inflicted horrible pain. Not only has he taken the lives, at least in the eyes of the world, taken the lives of 58 people, plus his own life, and injured nearly 500 people, you know, the consequences of that tragedy has impacted the lives of thousands and thousands of people who are connected to these people, and not only people who are deeply, intimately connected, but all of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it, right?
Right.
Because it does. It has affected us. We're bothered by this. We're bothered by this, and we're asking, you know, why does this happen? Why, how could this have? What could have gone wrong in the mind of that man? You know, when we, again, I probably am all over the place, but I think we were talking about this before. I don't know if it was on the radio, maybe off the radio, but I think we had this discussion. But it was amazing how, remember when we saw vividly the beheading of the journalist back, now I don't know how many years ago that was, by ISIS. The first couple of times, we were utterly shocked. It was an utter shock. It was so barbaric, so shocking, that it just affected in such a way our psyche, or the 9/11 tragedy. But this stuff continues to happen, and we're not as you know, I hate to say it, but it's not as shocking, you know. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I guess I got all kinds of things going through my head today, but I was thinking about, you know, the difference between compassion, suffering with, because right now I think many people are suffering with or feeling a sorrow, a sadness, a suffering for these people who have suffered this tragedy in Las Vegas. Certainly, I know that I am, I feel a sadness and a suffering for the family of Sarah right now, because they're in the midst of this, the shock of a sudden death. I feel a sadness for this woman, young woman, again, who I've known, I know them all, who said, I'm jealous, because she's telling me a lot about what's going on inside her life, and yet she's not defeated. She's not defeated. So on one hand, we're compassionate people. On the other hand, and I heard this the other day too, somebody mentioned this, and I've been thinking about it as well, you know, but empathy. What's the difference between compassion and empathy, and just how empathetic can we be before we go crazy? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much suffering can we? This is just when I started by saying, you know, sometimes you want to tune out.
Right.
You know, in other words, it's too much. It's too heavy. It's too close. It's too painful. It's too real. It's too real. And so, you know, I was just writing a letter to our parents, the parents of our students, and I said, maybe share a little bit of this too, but that we can't run into cyberspace or some other place. We've got to get into the into this battle, because it is a battle. It's a spiritual battle. We've got to get into this, and we got to bring the weapon of God's Spirit. We've got to take everything that's been given to us with regards to our faith, and bring this into the battle, so that we can claim victory, not only for ourselves but for others as well. Or get it. We have to go into the dark. It's like those first responders. You know, while everybody else is running, and rightfully so, running away. I was watching just horrific video today too of the people leaving. And did you see that?
I've seen. Yeah.
I had to shut it off because at one point somebody was shot.
See, it gets to the point where, again, I know what you're saying now about it's too much. But you know, I as you've been talking, I've been thinking of the Our Father. You know, give us this day our daily bread. He gives us what we need. Sometimes even if it's that little hit where it's too much, but I guess my hope is always he gives us what we need to get by. And as you look at this, it's sometimes this is what I think the warfare really is. See, not everybody is happy all the time. And when things like this happen, it kind of makes us think about what is our relationship? Should our relationship be stronger? How do we get this way? How do we nurture this?
Because if we don't have faith, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
How do you get? I want to share after we come back. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Nick. This is just I hate to take breaks. You know, people need them. But yeah, Jesus says, right? You know, don't worry so much about tomorrow when tomorrow hasn't come, and today has troubles enough for today, sufferings enough for today. So I'm with you in this suffering today. I'm going to get you through this day, and I will be with you tomorrow. Now, if you don't have faith, if you don't have that, then what do you do? Exactly. Where do you go? How do you deal with it? You know? So when I say, in a sense, almost to tune out is to tune into God. You know, in other words, I've got to shut. It's just like Jesus. This is exactly what it is. As I'm answering my question for myself, but that's what I did this morning. I just had to. I had to just go into the chapel, shut the door. Jesus, as the Lord said, you know, go into your inner chamber, shut the door, and you don't have to worry about what you're going to say, because the Father already knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's going on, and just be there. You know, be there and know that I am God. And breathe, you know, just breathe. Hey, you're going to get through this. I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to get others through this as well. You're not the Messiah. You know, put aside the cape, as somebody told me once. Put aside the cape. You're not Superman. And just give it to me. Give it to me. And we're all going to get through this. And we do. And we do. And that's the miracle of it all, is that we do survive. Well, we do, but not everybody, you know. And that's why faith is so essential, even if it be but the size of a mustard seed. It's essential. And that's where what was a bit frightening is that, collectively speaking, as a people, if we don't wake up to the urgent need we have for, as I call it in this letter, I was calling it old-time religion, old-time religiosity, you know, the faith of our ancestors, the faith of our grandparents, you know. Anyway, we got to take a break. I'm so sorry, Nick. He's going to get fired. I won't fire. He's not going to get fired. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How shall I tell this great mystery? I am Father Thomas J. Lawyer with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. He who is without flesh becomes incarnate. The Word puts on a body. The invisible is seen. He whom no hand can touch is carried, and he who knows no beginning now begins to be. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man. These words were taken from the Christmas prayers of the Byzantine Catholic Church. Turn our thoughts to the great mystery. God has condescended, bent the heavens, made a gift of himself, and entered into a spousal relationship with his own creation. The entire order of creation, most especially our human bodies, speak the language of this mystery. We are created male and female precisely so that we too could make a gift of ourselves. We too could love as God loves. Christ is born. Glorify him. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. taborlife.org.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody, and Nick won't be fired. Believe me, if anybody's going to get fired, I'll get fired, and none of us get paid. So,
well,
you know,
if you're going to get fired, I'm going to get fired.
Exactly.
I don't get paid.
But I love this audience because you just, I'm assuming you allow me just to say whatever I say, and somehow you understand.
Right.
I really appreciate the response, and this is, I shouldn't say names, but I mentioned that,
right.
So Sarah, who died last night. I'm dealing with that. Even though I'm not with the family right now, I'm dealing with that. I'm bearing that heaviness. It's a heaviness, and I mentioned about the cousin who I saw, and I only learned recently that she was diagnosed with cancer, had surgery, and now she's preparing for chemo. Now I can identify with that. I think she was happy to see me, and I was happy to see her. And I said, you know, I've been praying for you because I didn't know all this was going on, and she said, you know, she was looking at Sarah. She says, you know, I'm jealous. You know, I'm jealous because, in a sense, what she was saying is, I'm going through a lot, and she was spared this, and I'm happy for her. I'm jealous that it's not me. You know, it's interesting, but
yeah.
But we have to understand that, and it made me think of the scripture that said that there will come a time when the living will envy the dead. Now, that sounds like a very despairing thing, and it is. If things would get so bad in the world that the living would envy the dead, but as we get older, we were just talking about this. You mentioned. Mm-hmm. Because go ahead and say what you were saying, just about why,
right.
Why do we feel it? Why are we so sensitive to this now?
I was making the comment, and I don't know if it's because we're getting older, but I guess, you know, people are dying. People, you get older and you get to the point where it's like, okay, I don't have that many years. But then you think, when I was younger, you don't see this. You don't think about it. I guess it's that relationship. You know, we don't foster, you know, get that relationship too.
But I wonder, I'd like to get in the mind of the children, you know, find out what, because I was telling you, somebody, so one of our, Frank, the operations a director came to me yesterday and he says, you know, I saw one of our students and there was an officer was over here. And of course they come and pray and, you know, we had the blue mass on Sunday and one of the, and I thought this was so nice, one of the students, little student, he's probably in the third grade, and he said, I'm not going to mention his name, but Frank said, Mr. Frank, he says, did something happen to Father Anthony, you know? Is something happened? What's going on? Because there's a police officer over there. So he was very, you know, and
concerned.
So there, you know, the point is that you wonder if the kids, the children aren't, I mean, they've got to be aware. The world has one thing is, there has been a change. There has been a change. Nothing new under the sun, but the intensification of disorder and chaos and confusion in the lives of so many people. And I, as a priest, I hear this all the time. And as I sit in the confessional, and sometimes people come not to confess their sins, but because they just need to speak about the stuff that's going on in their lives. And it's way beyond their control and way beyond my control. And what do you say? How do you set things right? You know, but let me share with you this response. And again, I want to say, you know, to everybody, and I really appreciate this because if anybody wants to respond via the Facebook, the parish Facebook, I don't even know how to access it. I'm not on Facebook or any of that stuff, but we have a parish Facebook. Nick, we have a Facebook for the radio as well. So however people want to access that, if you have a question or whatever, I'll try to do what I can to, or comments or commentary, whatever. It goes right to what we're talking about today as well. But this is the sister of the Sarah who died a year ago, you know, and I think it was a year ago in November. And she was responding to the whole question of suffering in reference to the preteen, the 12-year-old I mentioned the other day and I mentioned today. By the way, we'll be here tomorrow. Jeff Hammond will not be here today, so we should be back on the air tomorrow, God willing. But anyway, so she said, you know what, she said, I think back to the loss of loved ones and friends, and it's a moment of vulnerability and weakness. We realize we are not in control. Okay, we just talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I think we fail to recognize how God is all-knowing, all-loving, and that he can see our entire life on earth and in eternity, and he loves us more than we love ourselves and our loved ones. In other words, as I've said so often, God has our back, and that's why we have to keep going back to it. That's why I have to go to the chapel, go to the inner chamber, and just be with God, and just be still. Know that God is God, and let him remind us of these things, or remind us through others. And she said that although he allows us to suffer, I don't believe God would ever permit something to happen that wouldn't be for our greater good, but in our finite minds and very limited perspective, we sometimes don't see the graces and blessings that will come from that suffering until much later. And that's so true. That's why I said we do survive.
That's true.
We do survive. And we look back and we know that for what we've suffered, you know, that there has been, that's how we acquire wisdom. That's how we acquire an inner strength and ability to cope and to prepare, really, for the inevitable, which is that eventually death is going to take us all. But God has shown us that he brings life out of death, and that's at the very core of our faith, that we're not defeated. You know, those 58 people that died in Las Vegas, they're not defeated. You know, they're not defeated. This woman, young woman, Sarah, who died last night, she's not defeated, nor is her family defeated. Right now, the shock of it all, the sadness, the separation, you know, it hits very, very, it's too, Everything is very raw, very, very raw right now. But anyway, she goes on to say that about these hidden blessings, the graces that come from suffering that we come to realize later. It's good that God allows us. Now, this is interesting. Good that God allows us to suffer the consequences of our bad behavior, our sinful habits, our rebellious ways against Him, and how the Lord sometimes permits us to lose things or people that we've come to worship above Him. You know, and she says, as you've mentioned in the past, it forces us to lean into God, to put our dependence on God, to bring us to submit to the will of God. Not that everything is, you know, is the result of one's personal sin, you know. It's like I mentioned the guy in Las Vegas who I heard him, he spoke, he said he went into the concert an agnostic, and he left the concert a believer because he had been spared, that there was this a protective shield around him, obviously, because he was in the, you know, he was there with others were going down all around him. And so that's, I concur with that. At the same time, then, what does it say about those who went down, those who did die, or those who are maimed, maybe for life, you know, or those who are suffering injuries right now? Well, it is what it is. This is, unfortunately, the reality is. And Jesus didn't, he didn't mince words. He didn't, in fact, she goes on to say, let me just, when I say Jesus didn't mince words, he said it's going to be a difficult path. It is the way of the cross. You will have suffering in this world. And he even said in his prayer to the Father, Father, I thank you for these you've given me. They're your gift to me. And I'm not asking you right now that you take them out of the world, but I do ask that you protect them from the evil one. And the evil one would bring us to lose hope, to lose peace, to lose faith, right? So anyway, so she said it's so God allows us to suffer the consequences of bad behavior, sinful habits, rebelliousness against Him. He permits it. He permits us sometimes to lose things so that we come to know who He is and to worship Him, to put our dependence on Him, to lean into Him. And this is something she said here, and it's very, very interesting. He did not die to save us from suffering in this world or to banish it. What kind of life would that be if that were the case? We would be nothing more than automations. Automans. Like robots, right?
Robots, right.
That's a very profound, it really is very profound. He didn't die to save us from suffering in this world or to banish it. What kind of life would that be? And I've said this before, you know, often at funerals I used to say, you know, that, you know, I'd like to take the pain away. I'd love to take the suffering away, but to do that would reduce you to the likes of a rock, and you're not rocks. You're human beings who love. So it's a different way of speaking about the automans or whatever. How do you pronounce it? Whatever. The robots, yeah. Like robots. And then she says the only way one can cope with inevitable suffering and death that awaits us, each and every one of us, both young and old, is by looking at our Lord crucified on the cross. He created us free, even to the point that we've wrecked and ruined most of His creation through the misuse of our freedom. The evil in the hearts of men have caused the innocent to suffer. And He didn't spare Himself any of that. He threw Himself into it. So that God is an empathetic, more than compassionate, God is empathetic. I come back to that in just a second. But here's another thing she said that was really, really interesting. The real question is why God allows good with so much evil in the hearts of men, and when we've offended him and his laws so terribly. So the real question is, why does God allow good? Why is he so good with so much evil in our hearts? When we offend him, we offend his laws. And the consequence of that offense is that we cause suffering to so many people. And yet, today's a feast of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, who brings the message of God's greatest attribute, which is his mercy, which is manifested on the cross, so that, as I say so often, nobody can say, God doesn't understand, God doesn't know what I'm going through, because he's suffered it all. He who was not sin became sin. He took our sin to himself. But some very interesting, it's just a very interesting response from the program the other day. So these are the answers. These are the answers. But we have to, each and every one of us, we have to search our souls. We have to wrestle with the question. We've got to deal with these realities and decide what we're going to do with them. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to escape into cyberspace or some other place? Or are we going to humbly go to God and submit and surrender and be grateful that he has our back, that he's taken, as Scripture says, he's taken the sting out of death, so that we don't despair. We're not going to despair. Anyway, got to take a break. Remind me, maybe, compassion, empathy, because God is more than compassion. God is empathetic. And this is totally, totally, totally unique to Christianity. Totally unique. All right, we'll be right back. Father Anthony, you're listening. The listener supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just two blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing,
on first Saturday afternoon starting at 4:30. Find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago. And find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I wanted to mention compassion, you know, because it's okay. I would hope that we're compassionate people, that we experience sorrow for the sufferings of the troubles of another. That's how it's defined, compassion. It brings this need to help, you know, pity, sympathy. But it's sorrow for the sufferings and troubles of another. But empathy, and how much of this can we take? Jesus was more than compassionate. He didn't suffer looking at the sufferings or the troubles of another. He was empathetic, which would be defined as such, you know, that the projection of one's own personality into the personality of another in order to understand him better, taking on another's emotions. So this is, if you can follow this, I mean, this is the God, this is what makes Christianity so totally unique, and this is the only answer, the only sufficient answer to the question of the evil, the suffering, the pain, the anguish that has inflicted the world from the very beginning. We can be perpetrators of suffering through our own narcissism or our own egocentric however we deal with it. I mean, we each have to look at that, you know. Mm-hmm. This guy that inflicted the suffering on so many people, this man who massacred so many people, it seems to me he was morally bankrupt. He had no passion, from what I understand, no passion for politics, no passion for religion. Passion is a good thing. If it's certainly a passion that's imbued with the Spirit of God, and we're created by God, so God would want His Spirit to dwell within us. But again, it's our choice. But the point I want to make is that God, if I take this definition of empathy, in the incarnation, God became flesh. In the Paschal mystery, He who did not sin was made sin. He took sin, our sin, into Himself. He projected His own self into the personality of each and every one of us, in order to understand us better, or that we would rather, you know what is this? God created us in His image and likeness, in beauty and goodness. He created us. We, through our freedom, because love has got to be free, chose ourselves against God, who is life. So in order to save us and in order to redeem us, God's perfect image was disfigured. He allowed Himself to be disfigured in the incarnation, in the Paschal mystery, in order to restore us, our disfigured lives, to restore us to our true selves as created in His image and likeness. And that's the goal of our lives, is to, and through our sufferings, if we have the humility to turn to God, then, you know, we allow the purgation, because it is a purgation, a transformation to happen, a sanctification, that we grow into our true selves as created in the image and likeness of God. Anyway, got to end it there. We'll be back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so we'll pick up where we left off. Okay? So, Tony, don't forget.
I'll remember.
All right. Remind me. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.